Tonight, take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3 one more time. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter this evening for the text of the message. So far, we've looked in this passage of Scripture at the character of the Christian home, speaking about the Christian values that ought to be in place in our homes, in our lives, of course, as well, and in our homes, those things that don't belong, those things that do belong there in the life of every believer. We also looked at the characteristics of the Christian home, and that is allowing the peace of God to rule, to also admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and be zealous or ardent in our love and support of one and another. And of course, all these things are general principles that ought to be in the place in the Christian life, and not just in the Christian home, but in every Christian's life. The specific dealing with the family doesn't start until verse 18. And we began looking at that last time, and we looked at verse 18 and 19, and noted specifically that it begins with the wives, and then the husbands and the responsibilities that we have in the home. And tonight we're going to carry on then. We will read those verses again, and then we'll read starting in verse 20 down to 25 will be the new material, so to speak, for the message, and continuing looking at the characters of the Christian home. Some would perhaps say that the verses we'll look at tonight are the real characters of the Christian home, the children and the fathers too. I guess can't leave that out as well. So anyway, some of our children can be real characters, and some of us were real characters when we were children and still are real characters right in the home. But Colossians 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you that we can open your word tonight. Thank you for the practical instruction that you give us in it for our lives and for our homes. Lord, we thank you for establishing the home, and thank you for the joy that it can be, the place of learning, the place of strengthening, place of encouragement. And Lord, I pray that our homes would be what you would have them to be. We're not perfect people, Lord, you know. And our homes are not perfect places, but we pray that you'd help us to be the husbands, wives, and children, and fathers, and mothers that we need to be, as you've laid it out in your word. And Lord, that we would, even as we read at the conclusion of our text tonight, also have that servant's heart that is so needful in our homes as well. So bless this time, we ask, and speak to our hearts, each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just mentioned in the prayer, there's no perfect homes, and that means there's no perfect children or no perfect parents. But we have God's instruction manual here, and we have the Holy Spirit living within us to help us to have the best homes we can have upon this earth. And so tonight we begin with Roman numeral 3. I know that's strange, but Roman numeral 1 was for the wives, and Roman numeral 2 was the husbands, yes, and then Roman numeral 3. I called that the royal offspring, thinking of the queen of the home, the king of the home, the royal offspring, right? If there's king and a queen, then there has to be the princes and princesses that go along with that. You know, there's a lot of things said and thought about children today. There's a lot of opinions of children and, you know, where they fit in and all that kind of thing. Some people consider children to be a bother. I think that maybe that fits in the category usually if you're in that age where, you know, you think that, well, look at these children. What are they doing? You know, some people think children are a bother. They're a nuisance. They're, you know, they get in the way of life. And perhaps one of the reasons that families are a lot smaller today is some people have that attitude. Well, I suppose we'll have to have some children, but we don't, you know, keep it small, or whatever. Not necessarily. It's all different reasons. I'm not saying that's the reason every time, but I'm just saying that some people consider children to be a bother, and they're very impatient with children. You know, you can always see, and sometimes it's those who should know better, but maybe their time of the children and is all done, and there's a very lacking in patience for children and their own children sometimes, or others' children. Some may consider children to be a necessary evil, as the saying is, meaning, well, we have to have them for society to carry on, but they sure are a nuisance. They sure do hamper my life and my lifestyle and so on. And people do think that way from time to time. And, of course, there are those who love children. There's those who enjoy being around children, whether it's their own or somebody else's. They just enjoy the presence of children, and that's a blessing. That's a good thing. I will say that when I was, you know, before I had children, I didn't have anything against children, but I didn't necessarily, you know, have any interest in holding, you know, babies or anything like that. When I had my own children, that's a different story. It's an exciting time. And I had to fully agree with what God says in Psalm 127, verse 3, when I had my own children. That is, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children are a blessing, and we need to realize that. They are a blessing of God. There are many people who would love to have children and cannot, and they miss out on that blessing. And some, of course, are able to adopt and so on, and that's a wonderful thing. But in a society where often children are considered in the way and a nuisance and all those kind of things, it's refreshing to open up the Word of God and find, of course, the blessing that children are, and to see them as God sees them, and to realize the responsibility that we have as parents in raising them, the responsibility that God gives to us here, but also the responsibilities that the children have themselves. All these instructions are so simple, aren't they, when you read them? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Just one thing, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Just one thing. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Children, obey your parents. Just one thing. Sounds so simple. But we know that living these things out is a lot more difficult than it is just saying it. And we can read one verse for the wives, one verse for the husbands, one verse for the children, another verse for fathers, and say, well, it's just a little bit of information there. But living it out is a much different situation. So we think about the children tonight to start, because they are found in verse number 20. What's the scoop? What does God expect of children? Well, it's that one word, obedience. Children, obey your parents. That verse that when you're a child, you hate when your parents read it to you. Children, obey your parents. To obey means to listen attentively, to heed or conform to a command or authority. You know, the first part of that definition is probably where obedience fails a lot. To listen attentively. And then to heed or conform to a command or authority. A big part of the problem in our homes today is that children aren't listening to their parents at all, let alone listening attentively. And where does that take us back to? Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. What does that say? That's about children honoring your father and your mother. Honor means to fix evaluation upon. Honor really has to do with our attitude, doesn't it? Honor is where obedience really needs to begin. It's where the attention, if you honor your parents, then you will give attention to their words. If you don't honor your parents, you'll have a hard time giving attention to their words. But if you honor, if you place value on your parents, and you esteem them to be who God has for them in your life to be, then you will say, well, I better listen to what they say. So God, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor has to do with our attitude, whereas obedience really has to do with our actions. We honor, and because we honor, we obey. So we honor, and then we act upon that honor. We obey. Now, you can obey without honoring. but you really can't honor without obeying. You can just go through the motion of saying, okay, fine, I'll do it, and with a bad attitude, that's not honoring, but that is, you may be obeying outwardly. But there is a close connection between honoring and obeying. If children valued their parents like they should, they would listen attentively to them, and then we would have more obedience in life. We talk about distracted driving, but distracted listening is been happening a lot longer than distracted driving, because we only listen to part of the conversation, or we only listen to part what we want to hear. It has serious ramifications, perhaps sometimes even more serious than distracted driving. Although distracted driving can lead to some terrible things, distracted listening can lead to the exact same things. And so we are told to honor, and so we need to obey. If a child honors his parents, he will obey with a good attitude, even when he may disagree. If you honor, you will say, I don't agree with this, but this is what you are telling me to do, and God says I should honor you, so I will honor you and do it, even though I don't agree with doing it. That's a respect, an obedience out of respect and honor. Children need to be taught to honor their parents as well as to obey them. And this is lacking a lot, because parents want to just treat their kids just as equals, right, from when they toddle around and just, I want them to be my friend. That's good. It's good to have your children be your friends, but your children always have to realize that you are their parent. And God sets a difference in authority between children and the parents. And so we need to understand the importance, the significance of teaching our children to honor and to obey. Honor for parents is a lifelong thing, whereas obedience really lasts as long as our children are in the home. In other words, when you get married and have your own home, the Bible says the man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. They establish their own home. The honor to the parents should never stop. But it shouldn't be, oh, mom says we have to do this. No, they have established their own home. And so that's what the Bible says, leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. Doesn't mean stop honoring the parents. But the obedience at the same level has stopped. There's not that same level of obedience necessary. As long as a child is in the home, they are responsible to obey their parent. A child who honors his parents will not be anxious to leave home just to get out of the rules of the home. So it all ties together, doesn't it? Honor, obedience, respect, all these things tie in together. And you hear some children say, I can't wait till I can leave home. I don't have to do what my parents tell me. Well, then the problem is a lack of honor, which has resulted in a lack of obedience, which is resulting in that desire just to say, well, forget it. I want to go and do my own thing. But God says that children are to obey their parents. That's the scoop. That's what God says. Obey your parents. Obey them and honor them. What is the scope of that? To what extent does that go? Well, verse 20, in all things. That's pretty extensive, isn't it? In all things. Children, obey your parents in all things. We tend to be very selective in our obedience right from the very earliest stages. But God says it's not a selective thing. It's just we're to do it. We're to obey our parents. I don't know about you growing up. I'm sure you had the same thing, and maybe you've had the same thing with your children in your home. There's some things you tell your children to do, or something you were told to do as a child, and you said, oh, great, because I like doing that anyway. So you obeyed, and that was great, because you say, I like doing that. Then something else, say, now you do this. I don't want to do that. It's the same obedience is required, isn't it? It's in all things. God doesn't say obey in the areas that you like and not, don't worry about in the areas that you don't. He says, children, obey your parents in all things. Some things are easier and more enjoyable. That doesn't mean that if it isn't easy or enjoyable, you don't have to do it. I've used the illustration before, I know, but My dad had told us one day to pick the gravel. We did some work at the back of the house and ended up with gravel being dumped on the front lawn. You ever take gravel out of grass? What a horrible, horrible thing to have to get gravel out of grass. But one day my dad told us, I want all that gravel taken out of the grass so it doesn't get run over with the lawnmower and break the windows or hit the cars or whatever else. And I remember my oldest brother telling me, saying, Dad says we got to do this. And I said, yeah, but I'm going to do this instead. Something else. But it didn't cut it, did it? Because that's not what I was told, to take the gravel out of the grass. Something else I'd rather do that was more enjoyable. It was still work. It was still a chore. It was still something Dad wanted done. But it wasn't specifically what Dad wanted done first. And so we realize that we have to obey, whether it's nice or not nice. Because God says obey in all things. And some things to one child may be easy, and something to another child that may not be easy, and vice versa. We're all different personalities. And we find different things more difficult depending on who we are and our personality. Of course, when the Bible says here, children, obey your parents in all things, is a very strong warning. We'll get to the parents in a minute. But we realize that God is not expecting the parent, when he says that, to ask the child to do something that is wrong. We're talking about obeying in the Lord. And that's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're not talking about a parent saying, oh, good, my child has to obey me. Go rob that bank over there, because, if one of us is going to get in trouble and put in the slammer for a while, I'd rather it be you than me. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about obedience and things that are right. And so a parent is not to expect his child to obey in something that's against the Scripture, because the Bible says, in the Lord. Again, the obedience here is not just to the father, but your parents. So that's father and mother. Just as Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. Both deserve equal respect and equal obedience. You ever hear the statement, now dad's going to tell me how to do it. I better do it now. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which of the parents says to do it, get it done, because you're to obey your parents in all things. Children soon learn who is the soft parent, don't they? And sometimes trying to work one parent against another. It doesn't matter, I think every child does the same thing at some point in their life, that, if mom said no, then I'll ask dad, because he'll probably say it's okay. Parents do well to be on the same page ahead of time. We learned very early in having our kids that when one of them came to us and they say, well, did you ask your mom or did you ask your dad? Well, what did they say? Oh. Right? That's the way kids, that's the way we were. It's a human beings. We can find a soft spot, find something. But no, the Bible says that obey your parents in the Lord. Don't try to put a wedge between your parents, kids, and try and get the one to say yes and then say, well, the other one says I can. If you say it's okay, just learn to obey. Children may leverage it to their benefit, but, it can be very frustrating when parents are not on the same page. So we do well, parents, to be on the same page. So children, the scoop is that you're to obey. The scope is in all things. And the score is it's well-pleasing to the Lord. And that's a significant thing. The Bible says this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You ever wonder what you can do, especially as a young person, say, what can I do that would please God? Well, it's right here. Obey your parents. And this is well-pleasing to the Lord. In our life, we say, what can I do? How can I possibly please God? Well, here's one instance right here. Very simple, really. It's pleasing to God when you obey your parents. The Bible tells us that even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. And so we need to obey our parents because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. The Lord knows. And it's interesting. And turn with me to keep your finger in Colossians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at the verses, the companion verses that we've mentioned before. And we just quoted verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6. But it's significant here. It says in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, there's a vested interest as a child in obeying our parents because God says that He rewards that obedience. He told the children of Israel that if they would obey their parents, if they would honor their parents, that they would have the promise of a long life in the land of Israel. That's a great promise, isn't it? That they wouldn't be soon evicted from the land, that their life wouldn't end prematurely, but that they would have a long life. It's the first commandment with promise. Think of all the other commandments. They don't have a promise attached, but this one says that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I know, children, that your parents are not perfect and their rules may sometimes seem unreasonable, but God says if you obey them, you are pleasing Him. And if you obey them, it will be well with you. That's a great promise. That it may be well with thee. I know that our pride gets in the way sometimes of obeying, but you'll find that being an obedient child makes life a whole lot better at home. And according to what God says, He notices that. We know that it works out a lot better if we're obedient in the home. I mean, we all experience as a child growing up those days where you stubbornly rebel and you may get your own way, but it just didn't go well. And then there are times when you didn't necessarily want to do what your parents asked, but you did it anyways, and well, actually, this wasn't so bad after all. And now Mom and Dad are happy with me. The Lord's happy. This is good. It's a good thing. And so we realize that God says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It pays to obey. Now we turn to the attention to the fathers. Fathers get a double dose as husbands and then also as fathers. Though obviously parenting is for both parents, God gives the leader of the home the greater responsibility and specific instruction. It doesn't mean that the mother wouldn't follow the same guidelines that God gives, but specifically it's given to the men. That there's a great responsibility to teach our children and to raise them right. The responsibility of parents to teach their children is very clear. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, tells us that we're to teach our children day in and day out, not just in the classroom setting, but in the everyday aspects of life. When you're sitting up, when you're laying down, when you're eating, when you're walking by the way, those times are times to teach. In other words, any time or all the time. And we know those opportunities to teach come up all the time, don't they, in life. They come up, and you may say, well, you know, I didn't expect that we're going to be talking about this today, but here it is the opportunity, and this is a great opportunity to discuss this situation. And so the Bible gives us that instruction to teach our children. But here God says, be careful not to provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It may be easier in our exuberance to teach our children and expect them to honor us to have unfortunate byproduct of angry, discouraged, and potentially rebellious children. And so God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. In other words, don't put them down. Don't provoke them to anger, lest they be discouraged. To be discouraged means that you're down, you're just disheartened. To provoke means to stimulate or to enrage. And so therefore it says, provoke not your children to anger, to enrage, to get them upset, to get them angry. Discouraged means disheartened, dismayed, and spiritless. The last thing we want is to have children who have no heart and no enthusiasm. Isn't that the worst thing when your children are sick? They don't have any enthusiasm. The usual zip is not there. And we say, oh, I wish we were back to normal. I mean, they're quiet for a change maybe, but man, I just wish they would have their get up and go. We don't want them to be just lacking, having no heart, no enthusiasm. We want them to have some some spunk, shall we say, some zest for life. Yes, controlled. Yes, obeying their parents, but we don't want them to just be just, you know, sat in a corner doing nothing all day with no heart and no desire for anything. Children have their own personalities, and although we need to curb their enthusiasm, sometimes we don't want to change who they are. What would a father do to cause his children to be provoked to wrath and be discouraged? Thinking about that as I read this passage of Scripture and pondered it for a while and consider it, how could I as a father cause my children to be angry and be discouraged? And there's probably many things, but unrealistic expectations may be one. We expect everything, we expect our kids to be just perfectly who they're supposed to be. Remember, they don't have the wealth of experience and knowledge that we have as we get older, because we learn that along the way. They're not perfect because they inherited your less than perfect nature from you. It goes back to Adam. They'll try to do things, and in learning them, they'll make mistakes. It's easy, as I know, as a father, probably as either parent, but as a father, just, oh, no, just let me do it. Just, you can't do it. Just step out of the way. What are we really doing? We're really provoking them to anger and discouraging them. Oh, I can't do it. So we need to let them make some of those mistakes that are, of course, in a guarded setting, depending on their age and so on. It was a frustrating thing to try your best and be told, oh, you messed that up. Right? That's discouraging. And that can happen not because we want to be that way as parents, but that can happen so easily. And frustration of those kind of things leads to anger and discouragement. It's nice to have peace and quiet, but you know, sometimes we've got to let our kids be kids too. And let them, you know, have some fun. Don't be shouting at them all the time. Just quiet down, quiet down, quiet down. Because there were times when we were loud and, you know, I'm not saying doing bad things. I'm not saying, you know, loud and angrily shouting back at you. But I'm just saying let your kids be kids. Let them play. Let them have some fun and things. And don't always expect it to be a perfectly tranquil environment, because that's not a realistic expectation with your kids. Undoubtedly, there are times for them to be quiet, and they need to learn that, but don't expect that all the time. Don't expect them to be what you didn't become. I think some children get discouraged because their parents say, well, you know, I want you to be this because I didn't get that opportunity, so you need to do it. Well, maybe that's not what God has for them, and that's not what they have a desire to do. We need to let them be who God wants them to be. Let them be the best person that God wants them to be and the thing that God has for them in their life. Your dreams that may not have materialized are not necessarily what God has for your children. Let them become who God wants them to be. Of course, we need to warn them of the pitfalls that we fell into along the way. But don't expect unrealistic perfection. Remember, they're your kids. Another thing is not to be unforgiving. We have unrealistic expectations sometimes, and sometimes we lack forgiveness with our children. We aren't willing to forgive them for the times that they do fail at things. Think in your life, and I think you'll probably agree with me, that one of the things that gets you frustrated and angry is because what you did when you failed and you made a mistake, and somebody always holds it up and keeps reminding you of it and won't let you forget it. That gets discouraging and that gets frustrating. And yet that is often what we do with our children. We remind them, well, you couldn't do it before, so you probably can't do it now. And those things that, you know, we need to learn to forgive our children, not hold their previous failures against them, or bring them up every time they venture out to do something else. If Jesus told Peter to forgive his brother till 70 times 7, how much more is that necessary in the home? So the Bible tells us as Fathers, no, don't put them down. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Discouragement's an awful thing in any area of life, but discouragement spiritually is a particularly bad thing. And I think that when God says, lest they be discouraged here, he's including that spiritual aspect as well. We don't want our children to be spiritually discouraged because we've tried to put on them something that they would not be able to do, or we've been unforgiving in an area that we need to forgive them about. Sometimes in our attempts to get our children to do what is right, we discourage them from trying, and they may give up on serving the Lord. So we need to be careful. Obviously, we have to correct our children. That's what one of the things that we are to do. As parents, we have to correct them. As fathers, we need to correct them, but we also need to realize who they are. So don't put them down, but rather bring them up. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, is the commandment in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That reminds us that we, as fathers, have a responsibility to treat our children like God treats us, to be in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How does the Lord train and discipline? Well, in love, right? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. To bring them up speaks of training. Children need to be trained because they don't know everything, at least until they get to be teenagers. Then they automatically have figured out everything in life and can tell us everything that we didn't know, right? And then they get to be 20 or 21, and then we realize that I didn't know everything after all. But in all seriousness, children need to be trained because they don't know everything, and we learn. Life is a lifelong process of learning, let alone in those earlier years. Think about, they say that when the first 5 years, a child learns more than they'll ever learn in the rest of their life as far as all the different things that they learn in that short period of time. But to bring our children up speaks of training them, to train them to do what is right. Nurturing speaks of promoting that which promotes growth or education. And admonition speaks of calling attention to its mild rebuke or warning. So fathers are responsible for training their children and disciplining them appropriately. It isn't enough to let the mothers do all the training and correcting, because the Bible says here, fathers. And in Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, our example is needed and our correction is needed. Our leadership is needed. We must lead by example and not be hypocritical. When I said a few minutes ago, one of the things that provokes our children to be angry and discouraged, what one of it would be? Hypocrisy. You do this, but I don't do it. But you do it. You need to do it. That doesn't make sense. The do as I say and not as I do, it really doesn't make any sense in life. And so we must lead by example. That's part of bringing up our children. To be consistent and not hit and miss. One verse that seems to have come to my mind a lot lately, and it fits in with children as well as in life in general. But 3 John, verse number 6. Let's just turn there. It's a great verse. It's just a short verse, but it's such a powerful verse, and it's something, again, that God has really been impressing on my heart over this last while in every way. And as I prepared the message for tonight, I thought, this is part of what this is speaking about is to our children. It's talking about bringing people along. It says in verse 5, it's breaking into a sentence. We'll read verse 5. It says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." Look at this next phrase. "Whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." Well, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? To bring people along on their journey. Life is a journey. We are responsible to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, we are responsible to do that. God gives it to us right here. And then this verse says, bring them along their journey after a godly sort. If you do, you'll do well. We need to be those who are bringing our children along their journey of life after a godly sort. Men, we need to be men in our home by being the fathers that God calls us to be. Love your wives provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So we've seen the wife, the husband, the children, the fathers, and the chapter ends with servants. You say, well, that's servants. That's got nothing to do with the home. But you know, I don't think there's any coincidence as to how God puts things down in His Word. And I think if the home is going to be the place that God desires it to be, that the members of the home, all of them, will have a servant's heart. It says here in verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Okay, it's not with eye service as men please. You know, you can do your duty as a wife or a husband, a father, a mother. You can do them just because to be seen of people with eye service. But God says, don't do it that way. It's not as men pleasers, but it's for the Lord. He's the one that gives us our responsibility. He is the one that needs to be the one we're seeking to please. Verse 23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord. Be the best wife you can be. Be the best husband you can be. Be the best child in obedience that you can be. Be the best father in training your child as you can be. Do it heartily. Give it your all. Give it your best shot. Do it to the Lord and not to men. Why? Because the Lord is going to reward you. Isn't that a great thing? God will reward you for doing what is best for you and best for your home anyway. God will reward you for it. And you serve the Lord Christ. And so these reminders, these things about having a servant's heart, to think about having a desire in our home to have the right kind of home, if we have that servant's heart, in the end of the day, that's going to make all the difference. And to put all those other things together. We spoke about the queen and the king and the princes and princesses, so to speak, but we need to have a servant's heart. Jesus said that we should be as He was, and He, although He could have been and is Lord of all, He became servant of all. And we need to have a servant's heart, realizing that God is watching. He is the one that we desire to please, not our members of our homes. We say, well, I happy wife, happy life, I should make my wife happy. Yeah, that's good, but don't forget to make God happy. Keep the Lord happy. Keep Him as the focus. See, wives say, well, if I submit to my husband, he'll be happy and that'll be good. Well, that's true. That's good. But remember, ultimately, it's the Lord that we're serving. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And you say, well, my parents will be happy if I obey. Yes, they will, but God will be happy. Do it as unto the Lord. Every part of things needs to be realized that we need to do it as unto the Lord, let alone in our jobs. Because that's what we would apply the servant aspect, servant and master relationship to in our world today would be your boss and the employees and so on. The characters of the Christian home. Wives, husbands, fathers, and children. Children, are you obedient and honoring your parents? Fathers, are you seeking to raise your children right so as not to frustrate and discourage them? Family members, are you serving in your home with a servant's heart as to the Lord? This is the instruction that God gives us, each one, as members in the home. Now, you may say, well, you know, if my parents aren't doing their part, then I don't have to do mine. If my children aren't doing their part, then I don't have to do mine. If my wife doesn't do her part, I don't have to do mine. If my husband doesn't do... No, God gives us instructions individually that we're responsible to do before Him and to do what is right. And there are no perfect husbands, there are no perfect wives, there are no perfect children, and there are no perfect parents. But if we keep God's Word in focus, our homes will be what God designs them to be. Let's pray together.